We're doing Pirkei Avot. We're up to the second chapter, the 11th Mishnah. And the Mishnayot have been going through the students of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, telling us the messages. Each one gave three directives. And we're up to Rabbi Yoshua. Let's remind ourselves who Rabbi Yoshua was. Rabbi Yoshua was one who, his mother, from the minute she became pregnant, walked around the different Batei Medrash and said, pray that this baby be a Talmud Chacham. Please pray that my child be a Talmud Chacham. From the minute he was born, his mother would bring his crib near the academies so that every moment he heard words of Torah. So he, from the time he was in utero, he was still in his mother's stomach, she was already working, he should be a great sage. As he grew up, he learned Torah and became a huge Talmud Chacham. He knew tremendous astronomy. He knew Tanakh tremendously well. He stood up to the apostates. He was the one who knew how to answer them well. He knew sorcery. He knew witchcraft. He was able to say a sentence and make a whole garden patch become full of growth because he had mastered every aspect of Torah. Chazal tell us he was once traveling together with Rabban Gamliel, and their ship got lost, and Rabbi Gamliel ran out of food, and Rabbi Yeshua had food. So Rabbi Gamliel asked him, how come you brought so much extra food? And Rabbi Yeshua said, well, there's a star that goes up in the sky once in 100 years, and that star confuses, the sailors get confused between that star and the northern star. Once in 70 years, okay? I don't know. So he said, I thought maybe in this journey that star will come by and confuse the sailors. So I brought extra food. Rabbi Gamliel asked him, if you're so smart, you know astronomy so well. Now, you have to understand, this is the Rabbi Gamliel who argued with him about the laws of Kiddush HaChodesh, who had a tradition that went back to King David, that went back to Moshe Rabbeinu, about the secrets of astronomy that the rabbis held in tradition only in the house of the Nasi. So he was a master of astronomy. And here, Rabbi Yeshua outsmarted him. So he tells Rabbi Yeshua, if you're so smart, how come you're poor? Rabbi Yeshua was poor. Rabbi Yeshua wasn't interested in making money. He worked as a blacksmith. He used to fashion needles. And he wouldn't take the time to shower frequently. So his skin was dark. He was so displeasant to look at that the emperor's daughter once asked him, how could it be that God places wisdom in a vessel that is so filthy and disgusting? So Rabbi Yoshua answered her. He said, tell me, your father the emperor has precious wines, and what does he store the wines? And she said, well, he stores them in earthenware vessels. So he said to her, precious wines in simple, disgusting earthenware vessels? You go take your father's wine and put them in gold vessels. So she said, fine. She took her father's wine, started putting them in gold vessels, and a short while later they all went sour. So her father calls her in and says, what'd you do? So she says, he told me to do it. So the emperor calls Rabbi Yeshua in and he says, well, I had to teach her a lesson. She asked me, why is wisdom in such a disgraceful vessel? So I had to illustrate to her that good things are kept better in disgraceful vessels. Wine matures better and retains its flavor when you put it in earthenware. In gold vessels, it doesn't last. The same thing is true with wisdom. If a person is good-looking and he's worried about his looks, well, that's going to detract from his wisdom. So that's why I illustrated it to her. Rabbi Yeshua was a great, great, great sage. We approach Rabbi Yeshua, and Rabbi Yeshua is going to give us three tips for life. We have to remember, who is this Rabbi Yeshua that's giving us three tips for life? This is Rabbi Yeshua that the Roman Emperor used to be interested in hearing what he had to say. And the rabbis were always amazed at his wisdom. Rabbi Akiva was one of his disciples. He lived a very long life. And he told us, Rabbi Yoshua Omer, Mishnah Yudalef, Ayin hara, a bad eye, Ve'yetzer hara, and desire, Ve'sinat abriyot, and hatred for God's creation, these three things, Motzi'im te'adam min ha'olam, cause a person to leave the world, cause an untimely death. Ayin hara, so we know that these three traits are the traits of Bilam. To be able to look at someone badly. Look badly at the fact that other people have. Yetzer Hara, so our sages told us with regard to Yetzer Hara that there are three things that small docha v'min mekarevet. We have to distance them with our weaker hand and bring them close with our stronger hand. So Yetzer Hara is one of them. Isha Yetzer Hara Tinok. So Yetzer Hara is one of them. On the one hand, we need the Yetzer Hara. It's a positive thing. On the other hand, if one is in hot pursuit, spends his life pursuing his desires, so then that's going to cause an untimely death. That can't be his focus in life. It's something that's necessary. And I wouldn't even call it a necessary evil. It's a necessary good. Chazal tell us that when God created the world, it says God created the world tov. That's good. That's a yetzer hara. Me'od, very good. That's a yetzer hara. Tov is the yetzer tov. Me'od is the yetzer hara. We need the yetzer hara. It's a good thing in this world. Even though we call it ra, but you need it. Without it, we wouldn't move forward in this world. So we need, to an extent. A person goes beyond that extent, that's going to cause an untimely death. Why was Bilam chasing after the Jewish people? Because he had a bad eye. He hated what we had. He wanted to gain wealth, and he wasn't happy with normal wealth. No, he wanted as much as he could squeeze out of Balak. Well, if we want to get as much as we can, that brings about our downfall. That caused him to be blinded from the truths of the world. V'sim'at habriyot, and hatred for other people. There are people who say, I'm going to live alone. I'm not hurting you. What's wrong? I just want to be alone. Let me alone. I don't like people. I like living alone in my own house. I won't help you. You don't help me. What do you want from me? Did I harm you? In every one of these instances, a person might think, I'm not harming myself. If a person looks badly on someone else, am I harming myself? I don't like that he has more. What did I do bad for myself? Yetzer hara, a person has desire. Maybe you'll live a longer life. Rabbi Yeshua came and told us these three things. And the epitome of that is sinat habriyot, one who hates other people. He might be harming them. The last thing that he considers is that maybe he's harming himself. And Rabbi Yeshua told us these three things cause a person to die an untimely death. Yeah.
Also, I've run into recent, like, taken out a lot of time, but he dies early, then his life's not worth, like, he ruins his own life, like, he's not even going to
okay.
His own life.
Yefeh. Mishnah, yeah.
All of that is comes as an untimely death because we have a certain thing to fulfill in this world, so.
Well, Bilam could have lived longer if he wouldn't have gone to curse the Jewish people. He went to curse, and then he stayed by Midian to see whether his advice would work, and that brought his death. Otherwise, he wouldn't have died. He could have lived longer. We do have a certain amount of control whether we'll die early or not. There is a time which we're destined to live, and we could cause ourselves to live less. That is in our hands. Mishnah Yud Bet. So we're up to the next disciple, Rabbi Yosef. And he's also going to give us three words of wisdom. Rabbi Yosef Omer, Yehi Mamon Chavecha Chaviv Alecha Keshelach. Your friend's money should be favorable in your eyes. You should love it as much as you love your own. Very often, if someone gives us money to buy something in the store, so then we're lackadaisical. There was a whole corporation called OPM, Other People's Money. They did what you do with other people's money. Rabbi Yossi said, no. Message number one, he said, a person should love his friend's money as he loves his own. That kenat mechalil mot Torah, a person should prepare himself to learn Torah. She'ina Yerushalach, don't think you're getting it as an inheritance. The Gemara in Nedarim tells us quite the contrary. The Gemara says the tendency of the world is that if a person has learned Torah, then his child will not. And the Gemara asks why. The Gemara says one of the reasons is so that God made the world that the natural inclination is if you have a great rabbi, his son is not going to be a great rabbi. So that people won't say Torah is inherited. Everyone will know, you want to acquire Torah, you acquire Torah. He isn't a great rabbi because his father was a great rabbi. Quite the contrary. The natural tendency of the world is if one is a great rabbi, then his son will not be a great rabbi. It is far more difficult for him to be a great rabbi. The Medrash says on our parsha that when Moshe Rabbeinu was told to give the daughters of Tzlafchad an inheritance, so Moshe said, well, if daughters are going to inherit their fathers, that means that God sees the blood connection as being very strong. I knew sons inherit. They're continuing what their father did. But daughters? So then it's the mere fact that they're biologically connected to their father. Well, if that's the case, Moshe turns to God and he says, well then, please God, appoint a continuation for me. I understand that I'm not going to lead the Jewish people into the land of Israel. Please appoint a continuation. And Moshe Rabbeinu hoped that God would say his children should continue. Just as God had just told him that the daughters have an ability to inherit their father, so too his own children should inherit his position. And God said to him, Yoshua is going to lead the Jewish people. And when God saw that Moshe was disappointed, God said, your children sat around. Yoshua worked to learn the Torah. So your children are not going to inherit your position. Yoshua is going to inherit your position. He worked his whole life to learn the Torah. They did not. We see from here this concept. Einai Yerushalach. A person should never think, oh, I come from a family where everyone's learned Torah, I can inherit the Torah. No. Hatken atzmecha, fix yourself, Rabbi Yossi said, to learn Torah, for there's no such thing as inheriting it. You'll work on it, you'll attain it. Bechol ma'asecha yiyu l'shem shamayim. And all of your actions should be for the sake of heaven. This is brought in Halacha and Shulchan Aruch. It says in Shulchan Aruch, ideally one's not supposed to sleep in the afternoon hours. What happens if one needs to sleep, he needs to take a nap in order to learn Torah? So it says, okay, this concept. Chol ma'asecha yiyu l'shem shamayim. We work with this concept. Everything you do can be a service of God, if all your actions are for the sake of heaven. Bechol derachecha de'eu, Shlomo HaMelech said. In everything you do, you should know God. One can go to sleep, and it could be a purely physical thing. One can go to sleep, and it could be the service of Hashem. He's going to sleep, so he'll have koach to learn. Now, there are levels in this. There are people who, before they eat, they say, I am here by eating, so I will have strength to serve my Creator. And then they go ahead and take their friend's portion, and when their other friend isn't looking, they take his drink, and they take a portion that's enough to, so that three other people at the table won't have what to eat. But they said, before they started eating, they said, everything I'm doing is for the sake of heaven. It doesn't work that way. It's not enough to say it. The idea is, in truth, how are our actions? And this is very hard to attain. It's a lifelong process that one attains this level that all his actions are for the sake of heaven. Mishnah Yud Gimel, Rabbi Shimon Omer. We're up to the next disciple, Rabbi Shimon. He used to say, what were his three messages? One, Hevei Zahir, be careful, be kriyat Shema uvitfila, with Shema and prayer. These two have limited times, and we could miss them. And whenever we have the words Hevei Zahir, be careful, we have to pause and notice them. We say every Friday night, the Mishnah that says there are three reasons why a woman, why women die during childbirth. Who knows what they are?
Challah, candles, and...
Nida. Challah, nida, Rashi Tevos, chano. Chano is challah, nida, hadlakas ner. Chano is Rashi Tevos for the three mitzvahs women have. So what does the Mishnah say? The Mishnah doesn't say they pass away during childbirth because they don't perform these mitzvot. The Mishnah says, al shlosha devarim, Nashim meitot bishat leidatan. For three things women will pass away during childbirth. Al she'einan zehirot. Because they are not careful with these three mitzvot. The issue isn't the performance. They're keeping these laws. But are they careful about keeping these laws? There's keeping the laws and when I miss it, so I won't light Shabbos candles. So Shabbos came in and I didn't light them on time. There's keeping these laws and did I notice like I should have noticed in the laws of Nidah. There's keeping these laws and I took off challah, but maybe I took a bite of the dough before I remembered to take off challah. And then there's being careful with keeping these laws. The Mishnah says the question is, were they careful? So too, yeah.
I have a question. If we say the vessel wouldn't die, then why would the Gentile wouldn't die in childbirth?
Good question. So that's good for Thursday night. The Gemara asks, what about men? So Rabbi Shimon says, be careful with Shema and prayer. A person can sometimes say, I have another 15 minutes, I'll make it. Rabbi Shimon instructed us, be careful. Don't go to the wire. Ukshata mitpalel, and when you pray, al tas tfilatcha keva. Don't make the prayer into a set thing, el rachamim etachnunim lifnei hamakom baruch hu. But rather, it should be merciful, begging before his creator. Shneimar, as the verse says, ki kel rachanun v'chum hu, el chapayim v'rav chesed v'nicham al ha'ra'a. So here, this is paskin in halacha in two fashions. One is our attitude to prayer. A person shouldn't say, oh yeah, I gotta go pray now. as though it's something I have to do, and two is the fashion in which we pray itself, the way we discuss it and the way we pray itself. And the last point Rabbi Shimon told us is, ve'al tehi rasha bifnei atzmecha. Don't be wicked in your own eyes. A person has to have positive self-esteem. If a person feels that he is a wicked person, then that is destructive for the person. A person has to have a positive outlook on himself. I'm not perfect. I will work on myself, but I am not wicked. A person who views himself negatively is going to be a negative person. In order to be a positive person, I have to have a positive outlook on myself. In my opinion, this might be the strongest message in all Pirkei Avot. This is the message which people very often mess up on. Very often I have situations where couples are dating and the girl feels it her obligation to explain to the guy why she's not worthy to marry him. Why she's not a good person. For some reason, in this aspect, it shows up more with women than men. Men don't seem to have that problem. But the truth is that when a person views himself negatively, then he's blocked himself from being a positive person in many respects. It drains his strength and it drains his ability to be a positive person. It also causes him to be more sensitive because he's constantly feeling one down. So now when you'll make a comment to that person, he'll take it far more deeply because he's already carrying the weight of feeling that he's a negative person. Rabbi Shimon told us part of our service of Hashem is that we view ourselves positively. I might have sinned, I might have erred, I have things to work on, but I am not a wicked person. And this is important also with regard to chinuch of our children. Sometimes parents don't notice and they'll talk to children and they'll say, you're bad. You don't tell a child he's bad. That action might have been improper. The child is not bad, the child is good. You tell a child enough times he's bad, then he'll believe it. When we were contemplating schools where to send our children, one of the schools we heard the teacher telling a child he's bad. We had an issue with that school. We didn't send our child there. A teacher, a parent, those are words that cannot leave their lips. At best, at worst, you're going to tell a child, that was not right what you did. That was hurtful. That was unfair. There are words that can be used. To tell him he is bad, that's wrong. Right. So that's the opposite side. You have to keep reinforcing the good. Yeah. Yeah. Mishnah Yudalid. Rabbi Elazar Omer. We're up to the last of the five disciples. Rabbi Elazar says, Hevei shakud lilmod Torah. A person has to toil. He has to put himself all out in the learning of Torah. Very often we think we could attain Torah if while we're learning we're thinking about our stocks, we're thinking about the phone call we have to make, we're thinking about what are we going to do in the break? What are we going to do at Ben Azmanim? Yeah, I'm in class, I'm listening, but my mind is all over. Rabbi Elazar taught us, you want to succeed in learning Torah, you have to be shakud. You have to put your strength into it, you have to put your focus into it. Vida, and know, mashet tashiv l'apikos, what you will respond to an apostate. And there are two messages here. One is you have to know. It's not enough to regurgitate. This is what I heard, this must be the answer. Okay, so I'll answer it. No, you have to know it. Meaning, it has to be understood intellectually. Vida, you have to know, Rabbi Elazar told us, what the answer is to an apikoros' question. And the second thing, which he worded very exactly, is he didn't say go argue with him. He says you have to know what the answer is. You don't have to go telling him. Very often, when people start learning Machon Meir, the first thing they do is they start popping out emails to all of their family, explaining to them why they're wrong and this is right. And then their family pops emails back and says, no, you're wrong, and now how do you answer A, B, and C? And then they say, gee, I haven't learned that yet, I'll get back to you. And they find themselves stuck. We never encourage arguments. We do encourage a person for himself knowing the answer. Vida, continues Rabbi Elazar, and you should know, Lifnei mi ata amel? Who are you toiling before? You're toiling before Hashem. Sometimes a person can sit here and speak as though he's the biggest believer in the world. And in truth, inside of him, he has many thoughts. Rabbi Elazar reminds us, you could fool the outside world, but remember who you're toiling before. Hashem knows what's going on inside of you. And ultimately, you can have faith. God will pay you your wages. But don't think you can play games with God. You have questions? Try to verify the questions. Try to work to move forward. A person has to be true to himself and know that God expects him to be true. We'll conclude with the famous Mishnah of Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon Omer, Rabbi Tarfon says, Hayom katzer, the day is short, v'amlacham uba, and the work is great, v'apoalim atzelim, and the laborers are lazy, v'asachar harbeh, there's a lot of wages to be paid, uva labayit tochek, and the owner is pushing, he's pressing for the job to get done. And this is a reference to this world. Our lives here are really short. Eov said, our lives are like a shadow. So the Medrash says, you might think our lives are maybe like the shadow of a wall, of a building that stays for a while. Maybe it's like the shadow of a human being. No. What's our shadow? Our lives like? David HaMelech explained, it's like the shadow of a flying bird. You don't even have the shadow to sit under. It's not a shadow you could enjoy its shade. No, that's our lives. It's a fleeting moment. It passes. It seems like, whoa, we got a long time. No, in truth, it's a short day. And the work, what we have to accomplish in this world is so great. And we are lazy. Our nature is to be lazy. Our nature is to look for the easy way out and to look for the physical and to look for the breaks. The first day I entered Merkaz Aram, Sir Yaakov Shapiro spoke to us. He said, some people enter yeshiva for the breaks. They're learning in between breaks. But they're always thinking about what's in the next meal, what am I doing in the next break. And some people enter yeshiva to learn and then they have to take the breaks, so they take the breaks. So that message stayed with me. That you can sometimes enter yeshiva for the breaks. You're here for the breaks. So, apolim atzirim v'sachar habeh, and there's great wages to be paid ultimately. And the last point is very important. Bala bayit tochek. Chazal said it's like a father. Father tells his son, bro lecha mana yafa. Choose the good portion, son. Take what's good for you. Hashem's always pushing us for our benefit. Do what's good for you. Grow. Take what's good. Bala bayit tochek. The owner is pushing. God commands us, learn day and night. That's our mitzvah. And to balance that, Rabbi Tarfon says, Hu haya omer, he used to say, Lo alecha amlacha ligmar. You are not responsible to conclude. Sometimes a person thinks, I got to master all of Shas. I got to answer all the questions in the world. I got to conclude everything. Lo alecha amlacha ligmar. But by the same token, lo ata ben chorin libatel mimena, nor can you take a break from it. And that's where we'll pick up next week, Bezrat Shem, in Mishnah Tetzai.